This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The Answer San Diego presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host. What's your name?
I don't know. Good morning.
Kevin Bowersock, of course. I'll remind him of his name. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. It is August 22nd, 2020, year that just keeps on giving.
Actually, it was a nice morning out, too, compared to all the week.
I mean, it's chill, cooled down a little. I think today's supposed to be the coolest day of the weekend, though. And I saw Escondido was only 90 instead of like 98.
Yeah, but
I mean the projection for today.
I like how they do it, though. They go, it's 90 degrees, but it feels like 110.
Well, that's when it's humid.
I know. But
well, I was talking last night. The reason it's so humid, if you follow the news, is there's a tropical storm off the, well, it was a hurricane downgraded to tropical storm off the tip of Baja. It didn't hit Baja, it didn't hit Cabo in that, but it pushes all that. It pushes all that moisture up into the air, and that's what we're getting right now. And that's why, and I understand everybody's whining. I get it, okay? But shoot, go live in the Midwest for a day.
And I'm used to this kind of weather, but you know what? Last weekend, it poured.
Hair's not used to it, apparently.
I was in Iguanga last weekend, and it poured down rain for an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Lightning storms, because there's on the 371 up there, there's an Indian casino, and you know what? Yeah. A lightning hit the ground and caught the field on the fire out there.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I talked to, coming up out of the desert out of there, there was quite a few storms. I talked to a different people last week.
So. Oh yeah, it poured down rain for an hour and a half, so it was kind of cool. Got the truck all muddy.
There you go, good stuff. Anyway, so kind of weird weather, but that happens when we get those big tropical storms off the coast. It creates all kinds of weird weather. So, and here we are. But been warm out, so if you didn't take care of your cooling system on your vehicle, I'm sure you are going to have some wonderful. Stuff going on as far as that
even
goes.
When you take care of it sometimes. Monday I noticed my water pump started leaking, so you know it happens.
Gotcha. Well, we must be online. Pops just texted, said gotcha. So he says it's 80 degrees and sunny in Ohio. He's down in southern Ohio sitting on the porch, he said.
Well, it's still early there too, so
no, it's not. It's late there. It's 10 o'clock.
Humidity can kick in at noontime there.
I know, but I'm just saying it's 10 o'clock there. It's 7
it's
here.
Still early.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. Hey, give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We are here to talk about anything automotive related you want to discuss. We're not just going to talk about the weather, although we could for a while if you want to, but... what's important about the weather right now? I'll tell you what's important. That big puddle that your AC is leaving underneath there is because the humidity's high.
Yes.
Yes, it is. So what's important is that your AC is working this time of year when it's this warm. Unusual for us, you know, I mean, like already this morning, it is, you know, we're in the middle 70s already, man, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. So today's Kevin's laughing. It's going to be definitely another warm weekend. And everybody knows, I mean, if for Southern California, we're heading into, you hit September, October, those are warm months for us. So usually hot, not humidity, but a warm temperature wise, you know, so quite warm. And then of course, as we hit into September, into October, we're working into the fire season, which unfortunately we already in Northern California, we feel for all them. They got a lot of big fires going on up there already.
I know we've been lucky down here. We haven't seen.
Yeah, we've been
really
surely lucky. Yeah, and let's hope we keep it that way,
yes.
Too, for sure. So don't
flipping cigarette butts out of your window. Don't
be parking your truck in a field with tall grass. It's brown after you've driven it 40 miles.
You got to use common sense around this time of year.
That's right. If you're going to go off-road, keep that bad boy where there's no tall grass. So we don't need things catching fires. The old days where catalytic converters used to spit out pellets and cause fires, that does not happen anymore. as far as pellet wise.
I was gonna say,
very seldom do you get a catalyst that comes apart and blows stuff out anymore. It's not that
common. No, it don't happen as much, but a couple years ago, I remember they said that one of the fires got started that way.
I know. I was watching the news one time that was like, they were blaming different fires on, oh, catalyst blew. Come on. How many cars are coming apart out there? When it comes to catalyst now on newer cars, we used to have those, remember those GM ones were the culprits, those flat pellet converters.
Yeah, but they worked so good.
They were only oxygenating cats, but I mean, they did work good, but they'd spit, and when they'd start coming apart, they'd spit those hot pellets out, and sometimes they'd shoot into, well, and they could cause a fire for sure. So that's why they eliminated those bad boys. Now the honeycomb ones don't. Usually if it blows honeycomb apart, it gets caught in the muffler. It doesn't come out. So,
yeah, exactly.
So pretty good stuff. Anyway, actually those pellet ones, remember they started putting the screens on the tailpipes?
Yeah.
Couldn't come out. Well, how about better yet? Let's just move on and get a better catalyst. Just a way to go. Anyway, all right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. I believe we are live on the internet today.
That's good.
Brendan's holding his thumb up, our producer Brendan. He says that we're good to go. So everybody can be listening, hopefully. We do appreciate everybody that joined in last week and gave us a shout when we weren't available online. But apparently there's a lot of people listening by the radio, too, that know how to find us, which is amazing. So, hey, please tell your friends. You guys know that we've switched from it's been a few months now, but from one radio station over here to The Answer San Diego. And we were on the previous radio station for years, as you know. So I've already still bumped into people, and I've been trying to get the message out that we moved. It was a short, quick move when the decision was made where we were going. I ran into a client this week that was like, man, I really miss your radio show. What do you mean you miss it? He's still here every Saturday. And he's all, you are? Where? We're on the Answer San Diego, 1170, 96.1 FM. Check us out. Or you can get the app and catch us on iHeartMedia what is it called? Radio.com. There it is. Woohoo. So tell your friends.
It doesn't matter how much.
Tell people that aren't your friends. Tell people you don't like. Tell them to listen to us on the radio. So
yeah, listen, even if you don't like us.
If you don't, Kevin's all listening, even if you don't like me, I don't care. All right, folks, I do want to let you know Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission, 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STARS certified up there for 28 years, taking care of folks in North County, San Diego. So good stuff, man. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue, AAA approved, smog certified out in East County, taking care of folks out there for going on 7 years now. And then West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and smog certified in Central San Diego right here, taking care of folks for over 3 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. Right here in the Golden Triangle, Eastgate Mall Road and Miramar Road. Taking care of folks right here in the Golden Triangle for over a year now. Used to be Miramar 76 with Dan, who was on the radio with me previously, if you used to listen. Rolled it in and made it one of the West Automotive Group stores so that they're all together. And just doing our thing, taking care of folks. And that's an amazing little store right there. Kristen, the manager, is there to help everybody. Kristen and Todd up front, along with the technicians I got working there with me. We got Cole and Hector and Troy, and they're just amazing, amazing folks. So, but all the stores have great, amazing employees we got working for us. Stop in, whether it's Escondido, Miramar, Kearney Mesa, El Cajon, we're here to help you. And that's a good point. The reason we bring you Auto Talk Radio is all of my employees, along with myself, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio, as we all believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. And what that statement means is we would never recommend nor have you do anything to your vehicle we wouldn't do to our own vehicles or to a family member's vehicles. So you're part of the family when you come in and get your vehicle serviced or repaired with us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired. Find out what quality automotive service repair is all about. We're also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. Very important to us right now. We're here to help you. We know some people financially, it's a tough time with COVID and all. So a couple things we're doing. We're really helping out. We got multiple arms of ways to do this for folks. And like I said, it is 6 months no interest. Great stuff to help you out. You can break up any repairs. And then you get a card. You can always use it again for auto repair with us. And same thing, 6 months again. It's not every time that you use it, you can use it for the same thing. If you we're doing that along with, you know, if you think you're having a transmission issue, get your vehicle into us and get your CertiCare transmission diagnosis done with us. We see so many vehicles that do not have transmission problems that somebody else has recommended a transmission repair. So if you think you have a transmission problem, get your vehicle into us. Let us do our CertiCare transmission diagnosis, and we'll figure out what's going on with your vehicle for sure. The good news is also one of the things about having transmission experts, plus everybody's a master technician. If it's not a transmission problem, we don't have to send you elsewhere. We'll go right on through, and we can get you set up and diagnose what the problem is, get you fixed and on the road. One-stop shop for everything from your simple oil changes to major repairs, transmissions, whatever it is. So, and one of the things that I often talk about with folks when dealing with automotive stuff is that it's extremely important to have people that know what's going on when dealing with your vehicle. We have access to all the technical service bulletins, recalls. We'll often tell you if we write you up, put your vehicle in VIN and all that, if there's a recall still on it, we get a little flashing on our service software, and we can print it out for you and say, hey, there's a recall. Such as airbags, which people are very familiar with. Familiar with the airbag recall, Kevin?
Depends, which car?
Lots of them. So anyway, my point is that we get, there's recalls for different things, safety, and they do pop up, but also technical service bulletins. We have all the same stuff that if you were taking your vehicle to a manufacturer's dealer, that comes up, the technical service bulletins that are written by the manufacturers, which we use all the time, right?
Yes.
A ton of. And we always research those when diagnosing a vehicle because the engineers have sent these out saying, hey, we found this problem. We found this problem. We found this problem. This is the what you need to check to make sure this is a problem or et cetera. I mean, there's all kinds of information coming out. If you're having your vehicle serviced somewhere that does not have the access to this information, they're kind of throwing a pin in the dark sometimes. So, right?
Yes.
It's important to have all this information along with the proper equipment to do the testing and diagnosis. We were just talking about that this morning on diagnosing issues with a car. So good stuff, and you need to be able to have your vehicle diagnosed properly. So get your vehicle in. We'll get her checked out for it. You can get us at westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And check everything out, all about us, and then make your appointments from there or call any of the locations and get set up. Whatever works for you, we're here to help. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And from there, you can go to Auto Talk Radio where you get all the podcasts. And then you can also go check out The Auto Man, where I am the Auto Man for the CW on Friday mornings. And I'm the Auto Man for Fox 5 on Wednesday mornings news. So check us out there. All the Auto Man segments are on our YouTube channel also. So that's a great place to go and check it all out. You can get there from westautomotivegroup.com. But this morning, 1-888-344-1170. Everybody's asleep still this morning, as usual. 888-344-1170. Okay, so what else are we talking about?
Warning lights.
Warning lights. Are those important on your vehicle?
Yeah. Well, they are, but you don't want the warning light to come on.
True.
Well, no,
but they're there for a reason.
Yeah, but the reason I say this is because normally when the warning light comes on, like the oil warning light, you only got about a quart left in there. I mean, you're already down like four quarts. So.
There are some warning lights that when they come on, you better take action now. Because if you don't, it's going to get worse quickly.
And even the coolant or the heat, like temperature warning light, that one comes on really, really late too.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Those two, for sure.
They need to come. You need to turn it off the car right now.
And we're going to get to other ones that are going to come on your vehicle sooner or later, which we all know is a check engine light one. That is one that you will see on your vehicle. And when you do, then something's gone wrong. It that's there intentionally to let you know you need to get your vehicle in and get it checked out for sure. That you're going to eventually get that light on a vehicle you drive sooner or later, right?
Yes.
So, and why? Because that light monitors so many. Could be a sensor's not reading right. Could be That's not always like, hey, your car's going to leave you alongside the road.
The fuel cap was loose. It could be anything.
Could be a lot of things. You're right. There's multitudes of codes now that get set on a vehicle per check engine light.
I can tell you this, though. When a check engine light starts flashing, you better pull over now because it's doing damage.
Yeah, flashing's bad. You're usually going to end up with some catalyst kind of concerns.
They should do that with the oil light, too. When it gets to a certain point, it should come on. And then when it gets really bad, it should start flashing.
There you go. That's what should happen. That'd be a great idea. All right, folks, give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way on The Answer San Diego. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock, and the house with me is my co-host, Kevin Bowersock. And we are talking about warning lights until you call us. 1-888-344-1170. Everybody's sleeping. Sleeping.
That's a good thing.
That they're sleeping? How can they be listening to us if they're sleeping?
Oh,
that's not a good thing.
They're probably awake, just not fully awake.
True.
Sometimes you got to wake up listening to something.
Wake up. Listening to something. I'd be sitting there having a cup of coffee right now. Anyway, we're talking about warning lights you should never ignore in your vehicle. Let's start with the oil pressure warning light. Very important. As Kevin said, this light comes on, it's probably going to be a problem. The oil pressure warning light comes on if your engine has lost oil pressure. At that point, you better shut the motor down. No questions. That light starts coming on, it's a problem. Pressure is too low for safe engine operation for sure. If it's got that low on oil, that's a problem. Or if something just broke and it lost oil pressure, such an oil pressure drive or any of that kind of stuff, then shut it down now and you could save the motor, right?
Yes.
So, or a major oil leak. We've seen that too before, like an oil filter blew off. We've seen oil filters come off of cars. And you say, how can an oil filter blow off a car? Well, I'll tell you how. We've seen cars go to quick oil changes and the wrong number oil filter put on. And it seems to screw on and tighten up. And it's okay for a little while. And then...
Well, the gasket doesn't make good contact with this.
Or they double gasket it. We've seen that where they don't remove the little rubber seal sticks to the housing.
And it will blow out.
It will blow out. There is no question about it. Eventually, it could last a little while like that. Although we've done oil changes on cars where we pulled them on for like, oh my gosh, look, this thing's been double gasketed. Whoever did this last didn't pull the other gasket off. And you know, cars that are new to us. And then you're like, that's lucky because whoever did this could have been buying themselves an engine.
Yep.
Because when that double gasket blows out, it loses all oil pressure right away.
I don't know, but I wouldn't have got that lucky. I can see that.
No, no. That's why one of the first things you're taught when you learn how to change oil is you remove the filter, you take a rag and you wipe down the mounting surface and make sure there's nothing on it where the filter goes back on. And if you got clean metal there, then there's not an extra gasket, is there?
Exactly.
Exactly. Very important.
I always look in the filter to make sure that I see the rubber gasket in there. And then obviously you got to put your hand up there.
Yeah, and just wipe it down.
Well, that's why they say wipe it down, because truly, honestly, half the reason you're putting your hand up there is to make sure it's not there anymore.
Exactly. So you never want to double gasket one. You never want to put the wrong oil filter on a car.
No.
Because they can come off at random times.
Well, not only that, the wrong oil filter, they have different drain back valves and stuff like that. And it can damage a motor.
You're right.
Some people are like, well, this is the same filter. It's just ball. No, it's not the same. They put a different check valve in there or drain back valve or whatever. And it can, you know, make the flow of oil different.
What the oil, other thing that we've seen is plastic wrapped oil filters, and people don't know what they're doing, push their finger through the center of it to break the plastic, and that piece of plastic goes in there. And I've seen so far three engines get nailed because of that. Good, it sucks that piece of plastic in.
It could
blocks
easily.
Off some of the oil. It does, and then can take the motor out over a period of 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 miles.
Little things can destroy lots.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of times having your car worked on professionally is a much cheaper route to go than it is to, kind of just randomly have somebody working on your car.
Exactly.
It can go so wrong.
Yes.
So wrong.
Yes.
So wrong. with the oil thing, low oil level or due to oil consumption or leaks, oil viscosity too thin, worn oil pump, excessive engine bearing clearance, or defective oil pressure sending unit. These are all things that can cause low oil pressure. If the sending unit's just defective, it's not leaking oil, your engine is not getting damaged. That's your lucky day if that's the only reason the light came on. If your engine is also making ticking, clattering, rapping noise, it's not getting sufficient oil probably. If you attempt to drive the engine in this condition, you could probably damage it if it hasn't already suffered major internal damage, which is what Kevin said. Oil pressure is extremely important to the life of a motor. Running it low on oil or low oil pressure for any period of short period of time can cause extensive damage for sure. All right, let's grab Les in Chula Vista real quick. Good morning, Les.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm wondering if you've had any experience with the fob. That's the key fob.
Oh, we deal with a lot of fobs.
This past week, I had the fob would do everything, but it wouldn't turn the engine. So I went to a really good locksmith, and the locksmith checked it all out and said, I think the transponder's gone. Mm-hmm. By the way, when I would hold the good reserve key I had right next to it, it would turn the engine.
That's because the transponder died. I agree with
they checked it out. Get a load of this, sir. Get a load of this. Mm-hmm. They cut me a new key, did a wonderful job, and I used it. But the key that had the transponder die on it, all of a sudden began to turn the engine again.
It started working again. So, well, there could have just been, there may be just a bad connection inside of that key itself.
Well, sometimes it gets corrupt too, and you have to rejuvenate.
Yeah. So did he re?
I'll tell you one more thing. Mm-hmm. When they went to program my new key, that is by turning it 8 times within 10 seconds in the ignition, which the manual says you do. When they did that, it did program so I could lock the car and unlock it, etc. But it disengaged the other two good keys.
Yeah.
It will do that. Sometimes you have to do them all together, because if you don't do them all together, it will disable everything else and just take the one in. So
yeah, that's one way to do it. Yeah, and usually we use we have factory software for that. So usually that's how we program them, is with our laptop and the software versus the turn the key. A lot of cars you can't do that with. Some you can, but anyway, we typically use the factory software because that's how most of them are programmed.
Well, I'm going to go. These are good guys, and if you go to the dealer, of course, it's about $500-$600. Mm-hmm. This was $133 for me, but
that was a good
I'm going to go back. They're saying to me that they can reprogram those other two keys, and I'll have three working keys.
They will, but they got to do it all together.
Yeah.
So
take all, as Kevin's saying, take all three keys with you, and it needs all to be done at once.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Just thought you'd, it's a very interesting situation. I think had I taken that key that was not functioning and turned it 8 times, maybe it would have started to function again. 8 times, like the manual said. It might have started functioning. I don't know.
But I truly believe you're probably still going to have problems with it sooner or later. It's probably just rejuvenated for a little bit. I have a feeling it'll re-corrupt itself again.
They do that. They start to do that sometimes. So, but yeah, I would take all three keys to those guys, let them program them all at once. That's true. What year is this car? What make and model?
It's a 2017 Ford Fiesta.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, I'm not unhappy at all. I basically now have three working keys.
Yep.
But maybe I'll have completely, holistically, three full working keys when they're done.
Yeah, you should. But definitely take it in and have them do them all at one time, and that should cure the problem.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No problem. Hey, thanks for the call. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, good point when it comes to keys.
Well, yeah, especially Ford. Ford says when you're, because even when you're using their factory website and you're doing it with their software.
I have never got that to work where you turn it. I mean, I always use the IDS, which is our Ford factory laptop that we use, and it just works seamlessly, and you program them all.
I wasn't even going to go with that one. I was just saying Ford wants you to, they'll tell you to program all of them together.
Correct.
Because if you don't, all the other ones' IDs will be lost. So you have to do everything together when you do it.
And I think most manufacturers, Toyota too, same thing. I don't know any manufacturers that don't recommend to do them all together.
You know what the funny thing is, though? I want to say that Ford, some of theirs, even when you're using the factory software, you got to turn the keys a couple times when you're programming it like that. So correct. Maybe they were using the program.
I don't know. He said he did it himself. They made it. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is every time I ever do them, I mean, for any car, I mean, I did Zach's Escape. I do my truck. I added keys to it, and I program them all at one time and with the IDS, the laptop, and they're done, and they work like a charm.
Yes.
So it's good stuff for sure. The best way to go. Let's grab Larry in Oceanside real quick. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Ryan, listen, I just want to give you an update. I called you about 3 weeks ago, and I have a Nissan Frontier truck. It's got 340,000 miles.
Oh, I remember.
And yeah, and, you know, I took it to a couple of guys that I know personally, and they just kind of laughed at me and told me, you know, just junk the car. It's an old truck. I just don't use it that much. So I went and saw Matt, and, you know, he... You should give him a raise. but he did a great job. He, you know, did it. We helped. He gave me a good price. And this truck that I was going to probably take to the boneyard is running great. I'm actually driving it a little bit more because it's running great. Well, it was a water pump and the tensioners had to be replaced.
Awesome.
And I was in and out, and the shuttle worked great.
Perfect. Yeah, Matt at my Escondido location. And instead of giving him a raise, Matt's on vacation this week. We gave him a week off. How's that sound?
You know, the funny part about this is he's on vacation, so he's probably not listening to this right now.
He's probably not listening today. Yeah, he actually went up to Washington State to visit some relatives. So he's gone for the week. But he will be back next week. So not next week, but the next week. So, I'm glad we got you taken care of. That's so important. And like I said, it... maybe way more cost effective for what you use. I know you told me you use the vehicle for Home Depot runs and things like that and just running around and geez, man, no need to replace a perfectly good vehicle when the repairs aren't that bad.
It was great. The price was good. It just worked out great. I'm so happy.
Glad we get you taken care of, Larry. Thanks for the call, man, and have yourself a wonderful, safe weekend.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, hey, I love those calls. You know, and that's what we were talking about with him a few weeks ago. It was like, hey, you know, man, let's get in and get checked out and find out what it really needs and go from there. So important, you know, to get things taken care of that way.
Especially cars are getting expensive. So just to fix your car is not really.
Correct. All right, folks, give us a call. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Ken Bodie, hold on. We'll get you right after this last break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way on The Answer San Diego. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio, and thank you for joining us this morning, as always. You can give us a call here at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Hey, I want to let you know Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there, without question. We do not stock nor sell anything else at the West Automotive Group. If you need a battery for your vehicle, hop on westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. You can check us out, make an appointment, get any questions answered, find out all about us, check out the Auto Man segments on that are on Fox and CW, and also pick up any of our podcasts off the Auto Talk Radio page straight from there. That's westautomotivegroup.com. But you can also make an appointment for your Interstate battery. Like I said, a battery for every need. If you were to open the hoods of our vehicles, cars, take seats off our motorcycles, wherever batteries go on those, you'd be, and I say that because I have a big KTM that it's down in the bottom, and then all the Harleys are under the seats and that I have, and then the dirt bikes are under the seats too. So anyway, most of them are under the seats, huh, Kevin?
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, my point is that they are the highest quality batteries out there. You wouldn't find anything else in our vehicles for that simple reason. If you need a battery for any other need than automotive related, you can check them out at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. All right, folks, Kevin's falling asleep. Give us a call here, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. We are talking about five vehicle warning lights you should never ignore. But let's grab Ken in Mira Mesa real quick. He's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Brian, Kevin. I have a question about fuel pump.
Sure. What you got going?
Okay. No, what I have, I read someplace or heard, you know, it's good to have fuel and gas in the tank, you know, instead of have maybe half or maybe quarter full. Is that true?
Well, we strongly recommend that you don't run a tank low consistently. In other words, you get that tank, and typically what I do is I get down to a quarter tank or just below, then I fill back up. And the reasoning behind this is today's cars, most fuel pumps are electronic and they're in the tank. The fuel is actually what cools those pumps. So correct. So if you run the pump, and we see this with a lot of young people that don't fill up their tanks, they only put like $5 or $10 in at a time. Happens is they're running it low all the time. That shortens the life of that pump, and they tend to fail and overheat. So that's what happens. So the pump in my truck, 330,000 miles on that bad boy. It's still the original one, but then again, I keep it full of fuel all the time. So
It doesn't matter what model. I mean, I have a 2013 Honda Accord, and I have a 1999 Ford van and a 1999 Ford Ranger. It doesn't matter what model or makes. I mean,
it doesn't matter. Those all have in-tank fuel pumps, yes. So same thing helps them out. You keep fuel in them, and you're better off for sure. It'll extend the life of the pump.
Okay, good to know. And I met you at store maybe 2 months ago. I met you over there, okay? And
nice.
I take all my vehicle to this Kearney Mesa one here, okay? But Kearney Mesa doesn't have a smog check. I took the smog check to the Miramar,
gotcha.
Store there.
Kearney Mesa does have smog, but they only do 2000 and newer. Or if you're test only directed or you have to go to a star station, we're a star station at Miramar. We're not a star station in Kearney Mesa. So, so that makes sense. But we're happy to take care of you any place we can.
Yeah, no, I've been taking, since you opened the Kearney Mesa, when I have been taking all my vehicle there, and I'm very satisfied with the service I'm getting, okay?
Thank you so much, and we're so glad to be able to take care of you, and you put your trust in us. We surely appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you.
You take care, my friend. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. Good talking to you, Ken.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye. So, great question about the fuel pump, though, because a lot of people don't know that, and I talk about it all the time, that the only way to extend the life of that component is keep it submerged in fuel. That's what helps cool it, right?
That's what I do with mine.
Yeah, that's what I do with all of mine. That's it, and that's why the pump in my truck's 330,000 miles on it. I keep thinking to myself, maybe I should replace it.
Well, it does, and when you get down to a quarter tank too, you go around the corner, you can run the pump dry, so that's not good on it neither. You know what I mean?
True,
because then the gears are in there meshing without.
I wouldn't say a quarter tank, but when you get low to the the empty mark, yes, correct, I agree. So, but
I don't know. You know what? On my full size truck, and even your full size truck, as big as the tanks are, when you get down to a quarter tank, it can go. I mean, you don't feel it because it does suck the fuel up that fast, but the fuel does slosh in there. Oh, enough.
Of course it does. But they do have baffles in them too to help prevent some of that.
Yes,
but
yes.
My point is, regardless, if you keep it low all the time, that's when you do most of the damage for sure.
It's not dirt. Most people try to go to the dirt thing, but the dirt's still in there floating around when even it's full. So
that's why we have filters.
Well, that's why there's mesh screens on the bottom and this and this. So
very true. Very true. All right. We're moving on to a temperature warning, Mike. But before we do that, let's grab Bruce in Carlsbad. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Last week when you discussed tires, you had mentioned that there is a stamp on the tire to indicate the actual date. And but you, I don't know whether intentional or not, but you neglected to explain how to read that. For example, my tire has the dot oval stamp on it. It's a 3917. I'm sorry, 3913. And that's just an example, let's say. But I think that's pretty accurate. Made in the 39th week of 2013.
Correct.
And it's those four numbers on it, the first two giving the month and the second two giving – I'm sorry, the first two giving the week.
Week,
of
yes.
The year, and the, yeah, and the second two giving the last two digits of the year. So it's pretty simple.
It is pretty simple, but not the way most people read things. Most people don't. And so, but that is a good point. Yeah. You know, I didn't mention that, and I appreciate you calling and letting folks know that. But you are correct. The first two digits are the week of the year. The last two digits are the year that the tire was produced. So and that's how we read them. I guess I should have said that because folks could be looking for like a month, day, year on the tire, and you're not going to find that.
Yeah, and it's particularly applicable to old timers that keep their cars a long time because they don't drive them.
Correct.
They don't put that many miles on them, and yeah, the tires may wear out technically before there's, you know, any show of tread wear. Anyway, for future reference, would at some point in time would you guys be able to discuss maybe a program on it? But if you could comment on it, even now. What the manufacturers mm-hmm. at one time had tried to keep the independents from doing repairs, mm-hmm. And it was typically not releasing software. Now here, you just a minute ago, you said the Ford, you had a Ford software for your mm-hmm. a PC, mm-hmm. Ford PC, I think you said. So obviously they're not withholding everything. How does that work?
Well, there was a big legal fight called the Right to Repair Act that we just won in Massachusetts a couple years ago. So because they wanted to withhold all that information and the federal government stepped in after we and the AutoCare.org, you can go read all about it. But they're the ones that brought the fight for all the independents. And I'm a member of AutoCare.org and I actually sit on their Car Care Professionals Network board for them. And I have for like 7 years. But good point. It's extremely important to people like that out there bringing the fight because the manufacturers didn't want to share all this information with us. And now that we've passed the Right to Repair Act for stuff like software for check engine lights, things like that, and they've agreed to go along with how this was worked out through the courts and stuff so that the fight didn't continue on because it had been going for quite a few years. Now we're starting to talk about the security stuff and a portal for that and how. So I mean, it's an ongoing thing continuously with the manufacturers to get them to allow us to use or have access to software and components and things like that. And I'll tell you, the hardest ones to deal with are Mercedes-Benz and BMW, no question. They are the hardest ones, and they try to prevent all kinds of things to the aftermarket, but they are the toughest to deal with, without question.
Well, bottom line, are you satisfied with the information that you get from the American auto manufacturers in terms of software, like what's going on in the PCM?
With most of them, they keep changing. Prime example, in the past year, GM changed. We used to have a yearly subscription to them. Now they raised the yearly subscription to some ungodly amount. So now we just purchase software per vehicle as we need it. It's cheaper that way for us. We still have all the laptop scan programs and all that, the factory ones, but the software after. But I mean, do we have access to it? Absolutely. Are we able to do what we need to do? Absolutely. But we always are staying on them because this is a changing time continuously where they can at any time try to bar something from getting to the aftermarket. They seem to be at this point fairly easy to work with now, at least the American manufacturers and some of the Japanese manufacturers too. Absolutely.
Gotcha. So, well, that's good news. And so when you take a laptop out to a vehicle for a diagnostic, then you have the adapter connectors to get into the that plug, which is, you know, the central to the whole system.
Well, correct. And since 1996, we've been using OBD2, which is a global connector. So that actually is used to connect. That is the same connector for all vehicles, but it doesn't process everything the same. So you can generically, though, retrieve codes, what's called OBD2 generic, on almost every vehicle. Now, fair warning, that doesn't give you all the information. When we work with our expensive and factory software and things like that, that's when we collect a lot more information. We can actually go through and diagnose the vehicle, because giving you codes and things like that doesn't actually diagnose a vehicle. It tells you where a vehicle has picked a problem up with the sensor or system, etc. And it's the technician's responsibility with the right kind of tools and data to go through and diagnose the actual problem of the vehicle.
So the diagnostics that they're doing, is it going to localize to a specific system or module?
Well, like problem? I said, there is a world generic, which is called OBD2, and you can retrieve codes and things like that. You can go in on most vehicles and look at what's called mode 6, which is live information of what's going on. But once again, you need to know what tests to go through on certain sensors and what data should be there and what it should look like and all this. That's why it actually takes time to diagnose a vehicle. Too many people in this world are, whether it's global that you're using or you're using manufacturer specific, are under the impression you just plug in a vehicle and it tells you what's wrong. Unfortunately, that is not the case on any vehicle.
Not that sophisticated yet then, huh?
Well, there's a lot of information there. Just I don't know of anything in the world that you just plug something in and it tells you the part that you were supposed to replace. I don't know. You always have to go through a systematic troubleshooting. As systems are pretty smart now. They can say this sensor picked up a problem, and here's the problem, and here's the information, and what was going on when it happened. But you have to decipher that data and then go through and actually run a sensor, that sensor, or other sensors, because often sensors on a vehicle, such as air fuel ratio sensors, oxygen sensors, those sensors will set codes because they picked up a problem, but those sensors are not the problem. You have to make a determination what's causing the problem that those sensors picked up, if that makes sense.
That's it.
So
absolutely, it does.
Yeah,
it
so that
explains a lot of stuff.
Well, that and I don't want to get some of it can get really technical, but my point to that is that the true importance here is knowing how to decipher the data and go through and then do the testing. And for it's the same for an automobile versus today's high-end refrigerators. I mean, the guy that comes out and fixes those set codes too, but he has to know what to pin test to make a determination. Oh, this board has failed, or oh, this sensor has failed, or whatever. This is why the compressor's not coming on. This sensor failed. You know, so there's a lot of things these days that require a lot more technical information of the person diagnosing it and knowing how to do the test than just most things you can't just plug into. That's my point, I guess.
You know, I guess what I would say to that is that it certainly makes me appreciate why you keep your old pickup that has 300,000 plus miles on it, and you don't have to worry about that.
Well, that truck is electronically controlled also. It's got a check engine light and everything. It's a 97, so it's 96 and newer. So, and we've had a check engine light diagnosis in that for forever, but prior to that, every manufacturer kind of did their own thing. There was different. You should see all the connectors that used to come with the old scanners to just scan vehicles. There was a multitude. Sometimes you've had 40, 50 different connectors. That's why they went to the OBD2 Global.
I still got all them connectors.
I know. We still have them all for old vehicles. But those cars were a lot harder. You did a lot more. You better know what you were doing, because the information was rudimentary that came out of them, which would make diagnosis often a lot more difficult on those, I would say. Nowadays, there's a ton more going on a car. It's very intricate. I got the word wrong, but you know what I mean. And integral. And everything works together, and the communication and bus systems and all that. You can have a bus system go down, which is we're using all the same wiring, talking to different modules. So it's, you better have an understanding of the vehicle and know how to diagnose it and go through the proper procedures. Otherwise, you're just throwing parts at a vehicle. So there's a lot going on there. I can go on and on and on with this for hours, but the true sense is having the right software, the right equipment, and a qualified technician is the best thing you can do to figure out what's going on with the car.
Well, praise be to the manufacturers that are giving you some of that information now, except for Mercedes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So hopefully that hits the topic there for you and kind of, but yeah, I could, we do talk about this sometimes, but that is great points that you brought up, and I appreciate your call, man.
Well, thank you.
Bruce, have a safe, wonderful weekend. You take care now. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Bye-bye. So, go ahead.
I just want to say one thing, because that's why they call it a diagnostic tool.
Yeah.
Because it's not a wizard or something. But it does help you.
I'm going to design one and name it the Diagnostic Wizard.
There you go.
It's going to have a little wand that it waves.
Poof.
Poof. That's fixed. What's wrong. I wish. Sometimes I do wish. But, you know, it's important to be able to decide, just like anything. I mean, there's so much data that comes out of these, and you got to know what you're looking for and what's wrong and what a sensor should be doing, what it's not doing. And I'm tired. I need a nap.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so as we're working out, and we do appreciate everybody's call this morning. Amazing. You guys are
actually
great.
That guy had very good questions, though. Bruce, I got to say.
He did. And even the fuel pump questions were great.
No, they're great questions. It's just
we had a lot of good questions this morning.
Yes.
And information on the tire. Yes. So if you're looking for a date code under there, usually it's in the dot circle, and it says the week that it was produced, and the last two digits are the year. So that's a good way to know. Remember, 7 years, you know, no matter of the mileage, if the tire's not worn out, the rubber tends to wear out.
Well, I could see that it could be confusing too, because, I mean, not everybody, normally the standard is we have, you know, the bigger digits, not just how many weeks. Nobody goes by that. They go by the month, the day.
The month, the day, the year. Exactly. So, but tire people really know those numbers. They're always looking for them. So.
Exactly. But you know what? The thing is even consumers should know that. That way they know their tires are getting older and they should have them inspected.
Absolutely. Or if somebody tells you your tires are past the date, ask them to show you the date on their tire. They'll be more than happy to. Okay. So we're talking about warning lights. We talked a little bit, and we just did a whole session on check engine light. That's definitely a warning light. And you get one of those that comes on, that's the reason you need to get it into a qualified. The best money you'll ever spend is a proper diagnosis by a qualified technician at a quality facility. Prevents from throwing parts at a car and gets you back on the road. Most repairs are single point. Some are not. Some create issues. We see some, like you can have a solenoid go out on something. Let's take a transmission that then takes out a powertrain control module behind it when it goes out. But the only way to fix that, you fix the solenoid first, do your testing, and verify from there, right?
Or it could be the other way around. You might have to replace the PCM first because it damaged it so bad. And then you realize, hey, I got issues over here after you got that done.
That's when your testing becomes extremely important, because if you continue on down the road, it could damage the new powertrain control module, correct?
Yes.
So there you go. Good point. So we covered that. Temperature warning light, another one. The temperature warning light will come on if your engine is overheating. Do not continue driving if the engine is overheating. Another good point. If that light comes on, stop. What do we say? Every mile is worth $500 after...
In this day and age, it could be worse than more than that. You know?
Yeah, maybe $1,000. Every mile is worth $1,000. My favorite thing is I just drove it home 5 miles. I'm all, now you need a new engine.
No, you should only drive it far enough to get yourself into safety.
Safety.
Because then money... I mean, your safety is
absolutely
is more important than you...
So the warning light comes on.
get off the freeway as quick as possible and then shut it off.
Get yourself to safety. Get it shut down where you're out. Yeah, don't stop in the middle of the freeway.
That's exactly. That's a good point. So, I just wanted to make sure I...
that's a good point. Yeah, get yourself to a safe spot. You in the vehicle. Shut the vehicle down as soon as possible. So don't panic. Just get off the freeway. Let it cool down. And the best thing is have the vehicle towed to a quality facility to have it looked at and figure out what's going on. You will save yourself the tow. The cost of the tow is nothing compared to the damage you can do to that car. You will save yourself a ton of money by just having the vehicle towed. Just have it towed. Just if the vehicle overheats, I'm telling you now. So it's the best way to go. The ones we missed are charging system, brake warning lights. All these important. If a brake warning light comes on, you lost pressure. Once again, the motor might keep running, but you may not be able to stop. So
yep.
All in low tire warning light. We are well familiar with those. Those just need to get in because you can damage tires if you keep running them low.
You can also blow a tire out if it gets low enough. So there we go. Safety again. So
correct. And that will cover it for today. Hey, folks, we appreciate you joining us. We need you all to keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up for sure. And be safe out there. As we truck on into this next week, it is going to be warm, so make sure you have your AC checked out. You can go to westautomotivegroup.com and get in and get your AC checked out and your cooling system on your vehicle if you haven't in a while. And let's prevent further failures. Let's prevent further failures on vehicles as we get them checked out properly and stuff like that. We do appreciate you joining us. We'll be back next Saturday. Make sure and tune in. Auto Talk Radio every Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m. on The Answer San Diego. Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Take care, San Diego.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.